Did during all those years, Brian, was there any particular event or thing happening in the engineering world of which you were part that you particularly remember?
Well, we did make a very large stretcher for Taiwan, for Talco Engineering, and one of the requirements were for very long stroke linear transducers, which were not readily available in those days. And I remember we had one type which we purchased from America, and these were about 4 meters long and really had to be handled with care because they needed to be kept in a straight line.
Well, for the uninitiated, Brian, could you perhaps just describe briefly what a linear transducer does?
Well, a linear transducer, the correct name is a linear displacement transducer, and it's basically a long rod over which you pass a magnet, and it tells the control system exactly where that magnet is in relation to the datum of the rod, in which in our case it was from 0 to 4 meters. Yeah.
In other words, it told you where the exact position of a moving body along its stroke.
Yes, that's correct. And particular on this machine, because there was always the possibility, this was a plate stretching machine, and there was always the possibility of the plate breaking, so that some of the I think we got a hold there.
Sorry, Brian, to go back to plate breakers a moment, could you just explain what happens then?
In the case of a plate breakage, the two parts of the machine literally fly apart under control, but any moving parts which are perhaps attached to the linear transducers mustn't be touching, so we used a magnet passing over the transducer to prevent any damage to the actual transducer itself.
Okay, fine. During your travelling abroad, Brian, obviously food and food preparation wasn't as it would be back at home. Did you experience any problems, particularly with eating abroad in some of these countries?
Not really medical problems, but it got a bit boring at times, particularly in Serbia, where if the lorry didn't turn up on a Friday, you didn't have any fresh vegetables for the whole of the next week.
Oh, dear. Okay, just moving on a little bit to another question, Brian. In the years that you were at Fieldings, were there any unhappy moments that you can recall about redundancies on the horizon and things like that?
Well, during the redundancies, of course, it was never a nice time at all. But unfortunately, they obviously turned out to be necessary. And it was difficult for the people who were actually having to leave, although I think because of our type of engineering, they managed to find work in similar factories.
Yeah, very sad occasion. Even if you weren't made redundant, obviously you were greatly affected by it. What was your opinion of the Fielding and Platt management, Brian?
Well, the only real contact I had with them was when I first went back to Fieldings from the RAF. I was keen to carry on with my schooling at the technical college, which I found out afterwards was most unusual for an apprentice or an ex-apprentice to ask for that facility. And I remember that the technical director agreed that I should go. He even have a day off a week, but he wanted me to make it up, make the hours up in overtime. And even to the extent of him telling my supervisor, who then complained about the loss of my services for that day, that, well, if I say he's going back to Tech, he's going back to Tech.
Quite positive, quite positive. Okay. What about, you mentioned the management, what about the colleagues you work with? I mean, was it a good workforce at Fielding and Pat?
Oh, yes, yes. It was always very, very friendly, and there was always someone, if you had a problem, not necessarily to do with work, but if you had a problem, there was always someone to go and ask. For instance, there was all people on the valve section who were particularly keen on cars. And if you had a problem with the car, then someone had the answer for you.
All right. Okay, so you could have your car fixed then. How about any other problems? Would anybody else who helped out in any other way?
Well, what I do remember, and there's a lot of talk about it at the moment because it was 50 years ago, the bad weather of 1963, where there were severe frosts penetrating into the ground for about 3 months, we had a unit at Fieldings which originally was used for heating cable lugs prior to soldering, and this unit was capable of passing a high current through pipes to warm them up sufficiently to thaw them out. So our services were greatly needed on people's houses, particularly the management's houses, to thaw out their frozen pipes.
Well done. Going back to photographs, Brian, along the years, have you got any pictures particularly that you might have got to want to talk about at all?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't got any photographs available.
Okay. Okay, so it all came to an end then, Brian, in 1997. And you actually retired then, did you?
Yes, I retired in June 1997 after 49 years service, but returned on a part-time basis to test and certify three of the long-stroke transducers that we were talking about previously. These were spares for Talco in Taiwan. Unfortunately, the USA manufacturers had got their inches and millimetres mixed up, and we had to do a lot of testing and rejigging to get them to work.
Oh, dear me. Okay, Brian, well, thanks very much. Just one last question. I understand you shared a table in the canteen with at lunch with some interesting colleagues. Can you remember any of them?
Well, until the early 1980s, Fielding and Platt had a very good canteen, and the people regularly sat at the same table. These people sitting on the table I use were Don and Gordon Allen, who were twins and had been at Fielding and Platt since 1940, Peter Salter, who was the electronics engineer, Tony Richards, who was a microprocessor engineer, and last but certainly not least, our occupational health nursing sister, Jean James. In our own separate ways, we attempted to put the world to rights. I'm not sure that we were ever successful.